Well, great to see you. It's great to be here and looking forward to sharing with you. Tonight, I'll be back teaching the book of Genesis, and we'll be in chapters 4 and 5 tonight. And we're going to have a few moments of prayer. We're going to cut the study a little bit short and begin to pray for our country and ask God just to give us great wisdom and great insight how we can see God once again overcome the situations we're going through as in a nation. Concerning the Harvest Fest, you need to get here early. There's anywhere from 8,000 to 10,000 people out in the parking lot. And so if you bring your children, make sure you dress them in biblical costumes. If they're not, they have to go through that gospel barn and get reborn into a Christian outfit. And so looking forward to that. And it just takes a lot of people. We're excited about what God's doing. And the women's ministry, gals, you don't want to miss this conference. She's a great speaker. And Gail's put a lot of time into it with the women's ministry. So should be a great, great opportunity for you gals just to have a great time. Guys are coming back, and they're having a great, great time. So tonight, Genesis chapters 4 and 5, and then we're going to spend time in prayer a little bit. I'll get you out by 8. And then this morning, let's turn to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And if you're in the New Testament, you're in trouble. 2 Chronicles is in the Old Testament, and it's there by Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we want to draw your attention to verses 11 through 13 this morning. And if you're taking notes, you can jot down, our only hope is God. Our only hope is God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 11 through 13. Our nation is in the midst of an absolute crisis. I think it's probably more terrible than we really can even think about. I think thousands and hundreds of thousands of people have been affected. Thousands and hundreds of thousands of banks are going to be affected. And millions and trillions of dollars, no doubt, have been lost and probably will never be able to recover. Wall Street might not ever be the same. And the country is divided on almost every single issue we face. And there's a group of people now seeking to try to figure out what in the world to do. And I'm praying for them. I mean, I really thought about this. And my son is a senior vice president of Bank of America. And so I went up and spent some time with him. Gail wanted to see the kids, and I did too. But I really wanted to see how he was doing. And he's not really bought into the corporate thing, but he's really bought into really the family and looking. And he says, Dad, you know, it's just we don't know. It's day by day. And some of the biggest foundations we never dreamed about are absolutely gone. And trillions of dollars have been bought up for $6 million. I mean, it's just terrible. And so we look around and we see this, and our faith in government is beginning to challenge us. And we're beginning to question, and we have a difficult time trusting people to begin with. But now we're wondering, you know, what in the world, who do I trust? Where do I put my money? What in the world do I do? Who do I vote for? I really don't know. And no one seems to really can make a good decision. And no one can really articulate what they really want to say. Everyone's playing politicians. But we get hurt, and then the people get the wrong choice. And so last night I thought, God, what can I share today with the people to try to help them get through? Because some of you have lost quite a bit, and some of you are going to be affected, and everyone across the nation. But here's my concern. The government is absolutely divided. And my heart just thinks, you know, God, you cannot work in a divided government. And then I look around and I realize the thing that scares me the most is the dollar is beginning to fall. And how much more can it fall before we fall into a whole nother leadership outside the United States? And is China going to want their money, and what's going to happen? So I'm looking down the road thinking, God, are you setting things up? Are you coming back? Are you trying to tell us we're in serious trouble? Are you trying to get our attention? Well, I'll tell you what, he has a lot of people's attention. But the problem is we're hooked into CNN and Fox, and we're just glued to the television, and we have our phones and our little things in our ears, our Bluetooth, because we want to hear what's going on with the stocks. Well, let me tell you have no idea. You really can't change it. You really don't know. Everything is now completely by faith, and you're just hoping for the very best. Well, I don't think that's good enough. I think you need to stop everything and really put your eyes and your heart on God and say, Lord, if we don't understand anything else, we're going to pray and ask you to intervene, because we know that those people back in D.C. and all over that govern our land, you have their hearts in your hand. And so, God, we're going to speak to you, and you're going to do what you want. And it's your will. And you can take Magog and hook them by the jaw and bring them all the way over. And they're going to one day, no doubt, attack Israel, according to the word. And you can do the same thing. You can hook these men. You can bring them together. You can change their minds. You can bring them one heart. You can change the language. God, it's in your ballpark. And so I'm not looking to the government right now to go back and forth. There are brilliant men. They're dialoguing. I'm praying my heart out, God, make sure when it's all said and done that somehow you got in there and you have kept us safe. Because either it's going to work out and we're going to wake up call and another revival is going to hit and people need to find God, or this thing's going to keep going bad and then the Lord's going to take us and we're out of here and it's going to get real, real bad. So either way, I think we have a deciding factor, but not to get hung up on CNN. And once again, what's the church to do? Well, the church is broken. In other words, we really don't know what to do. It's hard to trust. It's hard to pray. It's hard to intercede. It's hard to get involved. And it's hard to stop worrying and get on our knees and really seek God. So I'm going to challenge you, probably like I've never challenged you before, that if there's ever a time to put your eyes on God, if the mountains remove, God is going to be with you. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. He's going to establish you. He's going to build you back up. And if God supernaturally has to do something to help your retirement or whatever he has to do, I believe that God is committed to you and he wants you to look to him, because there's not much you can do. All your hope is either you're going to worry or you're going to trust God. And I'd rather have you trust God and honor God, and God once again take you and bless you. You remember what Job said, naked I came in, naked I go out, blessed be the name of the Lord. He lost everything, his children, everything. But because he trusted God, at the very end, God gave him back everything double. And so you think, oh, that doesn't sound bad. If I trust you, you're going to give me back everything double. I didn't say that. I said, if you trust God, he's going to establish you and he's going to prosper you. And so here, when I look at what's going on in the world, nations are angry with us. There's not a nation that's not angry with us. And so if there's ever a time for a nation to attack, all they're doing is looking at our government. It can't make decisions. The financials are down. What would it take for some crazy country to come after us, thinking that we were at a weak moment? Our military is absolutely scattered. Terrorism right now is being planned. Violence is exploding. And all of a sudden, heathenism is arising. And the cults are taking over. And here we sit and we say, what can we do? Well, we can pray and we can begin to see God. Now, Jehoshaphat in chapter 20 is an incredible story. Let me read to you chapter 20, verse 11 through 13, and why I chose this morning. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of our possessions, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. And that's so true. Underline, we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do. And that was it. I just said, I got to teach us. We don't know what to do, but, and circle the word but, that conjunction, but our eyes are on you. We have no idea what is going on in Washington, D.C. We have no idea who is going to be the president of the United States. We have no idea if we're going to come out of this or go into the Great Depression. We have no idea how serious it is, but we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. If that but is not in your life, you're going to be stressed out. You're going to be taking Tums. You're going to have pizza. You're going to wake up with CNN. You're going to go to bed with CNN. You're going to be on your phones. You're going to be trying to protect everything. It's too late. In other words, the best thing you can do now is once again stop and begin to look to God and say, God, if you love me,
protect my stock.
No. If you love me, God, intervene. Lord, open my eyes. And God, thank you that you have just riveted my heart and there's no trust I can have. And you said that in the Bible. Cursed is the man that trusts in the arm of flesh. That you're not to trust in chariots or in horses, but trust in the Lord your God. That's a hard thing to do in our society. But I believe that if you say, but we're going to seek God, as for me and my family, in the midst of this horrible crisis, we're going to turn and we're going to look to you. He says here, once again in verse 13, and all Judah, now this is so cool, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. So if you haven't brought your family together and turned off the television and begin to pray as a family, let's pray. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for a revival. We need to pray that God once again intervenes. Now, I'm not saying to put fear in their heart or to tell them everything. But I'm saying that when you come together as a family and you begin to pray for a nation that is going under and a nation that won't be attacked, then you are doing more than anybody's doing in Washington, D.C. But the problem is we don't think that way. Now, Jehoshaphat was the king, you remember, of the southern kingdom. And he was a friend of Ahab, which was a bad situation. Ahab was the king of the northern kingdom. There were 10 in the northern kingdom. There were 2 tribes in the southern kingdom. And you remember that Jehoshaphat was the son of Asa. Now, Asa was okay king. And Jehoshaphat was, he was okay. Wasn't great, but he was okay. But God had a problem with Jehoshaphat because he hung out with Ahab. And Ahab went to war one day and he said, Jehoshaphat, come hang out with me. So for some crazy reason, the king of the south went over to the king of the north, which he shouldn't have done because they were in idolatry. He hung out and Ahab said, here, hold my garment. I'm going to go out to battle. Well, that sounds okay. So the king goes out to battle, Ahab, from the northern kingdom because he wants to fight, but he doesn't want to be in his clothes. And the reason why is a Syrian captain said, just kill the guy who has the king's clothes. Well, what's Jehoshaphat doing? He's sitting with the clothes. And so he's now the target. So God had to intervene. Ahab was killed. And the prophet of God came to Jehoshaphat and rebuked him to his face. What in the world are you doing? Get back over to the southern kingdom and pay attention. So he went back, hung out of the southern kingdom. Everything is hunky-dory. Everything's going good until Moab and Ammon are now coming against him. And they are so big and so huge, it's out of control. And Jehoshaphat just realizes he can't defend the city. He can't protect them. He doesn't know what to do. And he makes the best decision of his whole life as a king. He says, I'm going to turn to God. And that's what I want to share with you. 5 things this morning. Number one, he turned to God. I need to learn to turn to God in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of things I don't understand. And notice in chapter 20, verse 1, God, we are seeking you. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them others besides the Amorites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So the war is on. Now, Jehoshaphat did not start it, didn't want it, but it's coming. And Jehoshaphat, verse 3, feared, underlined that he was absolutely fearful, like we are. We don't know what's happening. We don't know anything about our future. And like I said, some of you have really suffered and set himself to seek the Lord. But notice in the midst of his fear, he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. In other words, he was not a great king, but at this moment, he was a great, great leader. He understood he was devastated. He understood he was going to lose this battle. He knew that children were going to be killed. He could not stop it. So what does he do? He doesn't panic. He goes right to God and he begins to say to God, God, we are seeking you. And by the way, we're going to go to the court. And we're going to go to the house of God and we're going to hang out here because you said if we look to the house of God anywhere, if we have pestilence or famine, if we look here, you will heal and forgive our sins. So we're standing here at the house of God like we are right now. We're in the house of God, and we want to either look at the stocks or we're going to look to the Lord. And we choose to look to the Lord. He goes on to say in verse 4, and Judah gathered them together. He said, everybody come to ask help of the Lord. That's what I'm doing tonight. Let's ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. In other words, they were going crazy. But there was one man that understood enough about God that said, listen, we can't really win this battle. We don't know how to stop it. We don't know how to change it, but we can do what we do the very best. We can rally people, we can bring them together, and we can beseech God because we believe in God, that He has power and might to change the world. And Judah gathered them, and then they asked God for help. And so the first thing I realized, you turn to God when you're in trouble. And you turn to God when we need help. And he was concerned about the future of that city. And he was concerned and understood the danger. And so he understood that. I understand that. I see what happened at 9/11. You know how horrible that whole situation is. But I also believe that, you know, we're on the verge of slipping down. And the dollar going down. And then China wanting all their money. And I also realize there's a possibility, according to God's word, that one day we are going to be under a different rulership, probably Europe or Western Europe. In other words, we are heading that way with the Antichrist. So I'm thinking, okay, God, stop this thing. Give us a little bit of grace. Hold everything back. Let us pray. See your work or get us out of here. One way or the other, but you have my full attention right now. So number one, I need to seek God. And very simply, because the battle is coming and we didn't start it. And we need to set ourselves to seek the Lord, proclaim a fast, to ask help of God. Very, very important. Am I turning? And that means turn off the television and turn to God. That doesn't mean keep it off. It means don't watch it 24 hours. It means give yourself a break. But we watch it and then it repeat. We watch it again. We watch it again. How many times do you have to see it? You understand it. Don't let it destroy you. Turn it off and pray. No, we get angry, mad, and we check the computers. Stop. There's nothing you can do. It is dead. If there's ever a time to stop and pray, is right now. You can lay your hands on that computer. You can lay your hands on that phone. You can lay your hands on your wife. Probably be better doing that. Pray. Be a great thing. Second, not only am I going to turn to God, now listen to me, I'm going to focus on God. It's one thing to turn, second thing to focus on God. Verses 5 through 9. And he's going to focus on two things. In verses 5 through 8, the power, and verse 9, the presence of God. Notice, he goes on to say in verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah, like I'm standing here in South Bay, in the house of the Lord before the new court. We're going to stand with God in his court, before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are not thou God in heaven, and ruleth not over all the kingdoms of the heathens? And in thy hand is their power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. That is so incredible. He goes on to say, are not thou our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. And they dwell therein, and have built a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, in other words, what's he doing? He is now coming, saying, God, I've never been too good with you, but I'm turning, and I'm focused, and though my life hasn't been really great, you are that God of heaven, right? Yeah? And you have power and might, I do. And you drove out the Egyptians, I did. And you destroyed Pharaoh, I sure did. And you opened the Red Sea, And you swallowed Korah in front of Moses, yep. And you destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, yep. Well, could you help us? I mean, he's focused. We're not very focused. We're focused on how am I going to provide? How am I going to do this? What did I do? How could I be so stupid? How could, you know something? You can't go there. If anything happens, it's because God has our full attention. And now I'm focused. And I'm focused on God. If you hold these people in your hands, it's like when Belshazzar cursed God. Daniel came and says, the God whom you cursed, He's in, he holds your hand. And God just took away his breath. He's dead. So God, you can change the governments and you can change the parties and you can change the world. And God, you could send a revival. There's nothing you can't do. You can call fire from heaven. God, you can bring a flood. God, you can hold the world captive if you want. Lord, what is your will? Nothing is going to stop you. You have power. You have might. And what he's doing is he's once again focusing on the greatness of God to take it away from Wall Street, to take it away from CNN, and to take it back up. God, you are the one that made the heavens and earth before CNN or Newsweek were ever even born. You made it. So, yes, here. But remember, news is northeast, southwest. They don't make sense. Real truth comes from above. God, you're the one who dictates what goes on. I do. And so he begins to cry out, are not you our God? I mean, didn't you do this? He said, I did. And so you destroyed all these people. Can you help us? And he said, yeah, I will. So it's one thing to turn to God. It's another thing to focus on God. But then notice number three, not only does he turn to God and he focuses on God, but now he begins to do something absolutely crazy. Well, verse 9, I missed that. God, we need your presence. And if evil cometh upon us as the sword of judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. And we cry unto thee our afflictions, then thou wilt hear and help. So what are our afflictions? Well, power has corrupt. And absolute power has absolutely corrupted everything. The greed, the corruption, everything. God, the evil has come upon. We have been evil. They have been evil. We've taken our eyes off of you. Lord, we need to put our eyes back on you. But you said if we come and beseech you, God, you would heal and forgive us. So once again, he's going for the power of God and the presence of God. Then number three, he bowed before God, verse 11 through 13. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast out all our possessions, which thou hast given to us to inherit. And then this is cool. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. I mean, when you can say, I have no strength, most men can't do that. I can do it. I can find a way. We can pull it up. We can get it together. We'll plow through it. You know, we're stubborn. This has nothing to do with stubbornness. We are absolutely at a point that we need help. The best thing I could do as a pastor is say, Lord, help. The best thing you can do as a man is say, God, help. The greatest thing you can do as a woman is say, God, help. Show me. Help me to understand what's taking place. Neither know we what to do. I have no idea. The brightest minds don't know what to do. No one really knows what to do. It's still a gamble. Whatever they come up with is a gamble. So when they come out and they have this package all thing, I'm hoping God's in it. I'm hoping God spoke to somebody. I'm hoping God put a thought in the mind. I'm hoping it all works. But you know something? We won't know until it happens. And so, oh, we got it. We don't have to pray no more. No, you have to pray even more. Because what we're doing is incredible and crazy. We're gambling, but it's a calculated gamble. But we're gambling with money that is ours and theirs, and it's gone. I don't like that. I don't either. But it kind of gets your mind on Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so here we bow. It says we don't know what to do. Our eyes are upon you. And underline the word but, our eyes. So we have no might. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. In other words, it's a great thing. Jehoshaphat said, I have trusted in men. I have had alliances with Ahab. I've looked to other things. I have been caught. I have nowhere to look but God, you. So I don't know what to do. But I know if I turn to you, if I focus on you, and I bow before you, and I bring the children, and bring the wives, and bring the people, and we stand before this house, God, you're going to see our hearts. And we're willing to change. I think that's all God wants. And then we realize we can't trust the powers or the mights. And then number four, trusting in God, verse 15. God answered him. This is such a cool prayer. It says in verse 15, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou king, Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed. Underline that. Do not be afraid. Do not be stressed out. By reason of this great multitude, this incredible debt, the battle is not yours, but God's. God is going to fight it, and God's going to work with you. He's committed to you as Christians. He's committed to be with you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. If he has to divide the light from the darkness, he'll do it. If he needs to do something supernaturally, he'll do it. If he needs to raise a Lazarus or have the man stretch out his hand or heal the woman with the issue of blood or bring Lazarus from the dead back to life, he can do it. In other words, our God, who has power and might, can do anything in our behalf. And that's the key. It says, in other words, I am going to fight the battle. And I will take up your cause. And you will not need to fight this battle. And so you're saying, well, wait a second. You can't fight it. You can't go to Washington. You can't figure this thing out. We can protest. That's not going to do anything. Or we can do certain things. That's not going to do anything. If you want to change the world, now's the time to pray. And the way you're going to do it is you and I are going to turn to God. And we're going to focus on God. We're going to bow before God. And we're going to trust that God is going to vindicate and be our victorious conqueror. And either he's going to take us out or he's going to fix this thing and let us have a little few more years to bring people to Jesus Christ. Notice verse 16. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come by the cliff of Ziz. That's kind of cool. God's telling them, I'm going to fight it, but I'm going to tell you, just because I know you're afraid, they're going to be going this way and going this way and going this way. So walk up to the cliff and you can look down and you can see them. And I'm exactly going to tell you what they're going to do. So it kind of builds their faith. Once again, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness. In other words, come and see. And then verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still. In other words, stand still and see the salvation of God, the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, be not dismayed. Now, twice, in mouth of two of things established, he wants you to understand that God's going to fight for you. God's going to try to protect everything you have. He wants you to stand still. He wants you to see salvation. He does not want you to be anxious and filled with absolute stress. Tomorrow, go out against them. The Lord will be with you. Underline that. God is going to be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. Now check it out. All Judah, all South Bay, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, and they worshiped the Lord. How can you worship God in a time like this? It's pretty easy. God, unless you do it, we're dead. And so I think I'm going to work on my relationship with you a little bit more. Because you definitely have my future in my heart. And lastly, believing in God, 20 and 22. And God will establish you. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord. And the guy that hung out with Ahab, now he's a prophet. In other words, he really did turn. He really did focus. He really did bow. He really did, you know, do those things. And now he's speaking, believe in the Lord. And underline, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, you shall prosper. So if you want to prosper and you want to be established, you don't want to lose what you have, and you want God to hold what you do have, that if you believe in God, he will establish you and God will prosper you. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out, and this is anything but beauty of holiness. This is corruption. This is greed. But now our eyes are turned on God, and we see beauty and holiness. As they went out before the armies to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they begin to sing, not before, when they begin to sing by faith and to praise the Lord set an ambush against the children. God can set an ambush in Congress. God can set an ambush between the two guys running. God can set an ambush against Iraq. He can set an ambush against China. He can do anything he wants. So instead of living in fear, or uncertainty of my times. I want to go deeper with God. He ends up by saying, and when they began to sing and praise the Lord set an ambush against the children of Ammon and Moab and the Mount Seir, which were come again, and Judah, and they were smitten. God wiped them out. He did it. So I want to challenge you with as much love and respect as I have. We can't do anything. I'd like to say we have enough smarts to do it. We don't. I just know one thing. It proves again, man cannot govern himself. And so in my life, for my family, I chose to go see my son and to see how he's doing. Because I want his eyes on Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you that regardless of what you've done or how it's affected you, or maybe it hasn't affected you, your future hangs in the balance. And I think if there's ever a time for this church to say, you know, we're going to pray. And we're going to pray at home. We're going to pray today as we drive home. We're going to pray at dinner time. We're going to bring our family together, and we're going to ask God to have mercy and grace on our lives. Amen? Father, we thank you, and we praise you for your goodness and your grace, for the great confidence we have in you. And God, we thank you for those, and we love our country. And God, we love the freedom we have, and we love people that are in government. But again, Lord, power corrupts, and we're asking you to intervene. And so, God, take the hearts that you can turn and turn them in our behalf. And God, would you save the people? And would you turn people to you, those who have lost everything? Would they cry out and accept you? And we thank you, God, for your great mercy to give us hope that you are our only hope. So, God, restore, rekindle that hope, and God, once again, set a revival among our hearts and among your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand?